I mean, the Bible makes it clear that other great people of God were consistent prayers. And I think of Moses. I think of the tent of meeting. You read about it in Exodus chapter 33, where Moses would go and meet with God, and this cloud of glory would descend while he met with God. And then when he finished meeting with God, he'd leave. But Joshua, his young assistant, would follow him there. And yet even when Moses left, Joshua stuck around, right? I mean, that's a powerful example of prayer. I think of David, King David, Israel's king, actually before he was king, in one of the most discouraging moments of his lifetime, the Bible says he was greatly distressed. And it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The Old Testament tells us about the prayers of Job and the prayers of Abraham and the prayers of Hannah. So many of the Psalms are simply prayers. They're prayers that people have written down. But when Jesus says, you should always pray, you should always pray and not give up, he himself is the best example of all. Think of that for a minute. Even God become flesh prioritized prayer. Read through the book of Luke sometime, because I really want to read every reference this morning. We don't have time, but just read through the book of Luke. Or next time you read through the book of Luke, how about that? Note all the times and all the ways that Jesus prayed. For example, Luke makes sure that we know that Jesus launched his ministry in prayer. Remember how Jesus' public ministry begins. It starts with his baptism in the Jordan River by John. We call John the Baptist. And while Jesus is being baptized, the Holy Spirit descends on him in bodily form like a dove. And the Father speaks from heaven, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Right? And this is all the equivalent, really, of Jesus' ordination service. I mean, what a sweet ordination service, right? And Luke says it happened as he was praying. As Jesus was praying, heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. With that experience, birthed in prayer, Jesus heads off to the wilderness to be tested by the devil, and then into Galilee to launch his ministry. Jesus launches his ministry in prayer. Luke tells us that Jesus habitually hid away for prayer. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Everybody say often. Oh, everybody didn't say it. Shame on the rest of you who didn't. Everybody say often. Ah, there we go. Now we're talking. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Not places where he felt alone, but places where he could be alone with the Lord. Jesus habitually hid away for prayer. Luke tells us that Jesus consistently prayed before spiritually significant moments. For example, Luke says that before Jesus chose the 12 disciples, he went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Spent all night, to be clear. The NIV doesn't really make that clear. Spent the whole night praying to God. Luke tells us that this pivotal moment, this spiritually significant moment of divine revelation during which Peter recognized Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you remember that? Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And the disciples answer, and Jesus says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. This is the work of my Father who is in heaven. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is divine revelation you are getting. Luke tells us that happened in the middle of a prayer meeting. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? And it goes on from there to describe the story that I just told you. Luke tells us that Jesus himself was transfigured, experienced transfigure. His disciples got a glimpse of his glory when his whole countenance shone as bright as lightning. And that happened at a prayer retreat. He took Peter, John, and James up with him and went into a mountain to pray. And as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Jesus consistently prayed before spiritually significant moments. And as I reviewed my notes this morning, I asked myself why I didn't say this to you like this. Jesus birthed spiritually significant moments in prayer. Jesus birthed spiritually significant moments in prayer. And you know that Jesus prayed so consistently and so purposefully, and prayer was clearly of such significance in his life that his disciples saw it and they said to themselves, we got to learn to do that. Lord, teach us to pray. I thought that this week and I felt conviction. I don't think anybody's ever asked me to teach them to pray. I don't like what that says about my prayer life. Just telling you. Read the Gospel of Luke sometime and highlight all the times and ways that Jesus prayed. If Jesus prioritized prayer, here's one for you, even getting up early in the morning to make sure it happened before his day got in the way of it. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning. Everybody say very early. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. If Jesus prioritized prayer to the point that made sure he got up very early in the morning to get it done, if Jesus spent all night in prayer before calling to him those he wanted and appointing them as his disciples, maybe you'd have a better 2018 if you prioritize prayer than you will if you don't. Prioritize prayer. I want to talk for a minute about ways to do that. Ways to pray. Make this transition in my remarks, thinking that some of you have already have your heads full of reasons why you can't make 2018 different in prayer. Reasons it won't work for you. I've tried that, Pastor. I made it about 2 days before, you know, I gave up and went back to sleeping in. Hear what you're saying, Pastor. I don't know where I'll find the time. I want to say this the right way, but hey, it's your life. It's your life. It's your new year. If there's anything the scriptures make clear, it is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And part of that is this little component God builds into us we call free will. You get to do what you want with your days. When I would complain about the tightness of my schedule, some of you remember Wynema Kreitz. Wynema Kreitz used to tell me, you've got the same 24 hours anybody else does. Thanks, Wynema, right? Most of you find the time to make it to your kids' ball games, your grandkids' ball games. Find a way to pay your bills on time. Find a way to scroll through your Facebook feed or watch Blue Bloods on Friday nights, or I'll let you insert whatever priority you have next. The truth is, every one of us finds the time to do what we want to do. So really, ultimately, this is up to you. But if you're ready to move ahead, if you're ready to step it up a notch and prioritize prayer in this new year like you haven't before, so that this new year can be all God has dreamed it might be for you, let me give you some hints on how to do it better. First, don't make it harder than it is. Don't make it harder than it is. Fundamentally, prayer is nothing more than a conversation with someone who loves you more and better than anyone else ever has. Prayer is nothing more than a conversation with someone who loves you more and better than anyone else ever has. Here's a question for you. Are you able to talk or perhaps sometimes not talk, but merely sit in silence with someone you know loves you and has your best interest at heart? Are you able to shut up and listen to someone you know loves you and has your best interest at heart? If you can do that, you can pray. Fundamentally, prayer is nothing more than a conversation with someone who loves you more and better than anyone else ever has. So don't make it harder than it is. You are simply having a conversation with your most intimate friend. There are things you need to tell him that he already knows. You need to tell him for your own sake. There are things you need to hear from him that no one else will be able to speak to your heart because he speaks with such wisdom and grace. Let me give you three simple suggestions given that baseline. Don't make it harder than it is, but you'll do better with a specific place for prayer. a specific place for prayer. The Gospel of Luke indicates that when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember just before his crucifixion, where he cries out, you know, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That spot of prayer, Luke indicates that he was praying someplace he had often prayed before. Luke says that Jesus went out as usual. Everybody say, as usual. Right? As usual, to the Mount of Olives. We read it a moment ago, but Mark says about Jesus that he got up very early in the morning while it was still dark, left the house, and went what? To a solitary place where he prayed. To this solitary spot that he had designated as a place for prayer. So it seems that Jesus, depending maybe on where he was geographically in his ministry at that particular point, it seems that Jesus had specific places he prayed. Find a specific place for prayer. Make a regular time for prayer. Again, to the Gospel of Mark, how he describes Jesus' prayer life. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark. And I know, I read that and I know what some of you think of that. Okay, how about this verse? Here's another verse. You cling to this one. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Is that better? Right? I mean, I don't know that it matters when you pray nearly so much as it matters that you pray. Prioritize prayer. Ideally, put it on the calendar for a specific time and a specific place. How many of you got stuff you're going to get around to someday? How many of you know Pastor has some vehicles in his driveway he's going to get around to someday? Right? Why are they still sitting there after lo these many years? Because I've never said at 6 o'clock every evening I'm going to be in my garage and I'm going to be doing this. I have said to myself at 8 o'clock every morning I'm going to be in the office getting to work. My stomach says that every day at noon you're going to be eating something, right? All right, so find a spot and set a time. Make an appointment with God. Surely you wouldn't break that appointment. Sorry, Lord, I just got too much on my plate. For prayer, for life in general, here's a good piece of advice. Don't prioritize your schedule. Schedule your priorities. That's good to prioritize your schedule. I got all these things to do. Let's see what happens. But let's do it. Let's reverse it. Schedule your priorities. Put prayer on the calendar for a specific time and a specific place. If you're going to have the best 2018 possible, launch it with prayer, immerse it in prayer, consistent prayer at a regular time and a specific place. Some of you might want to go back and watch that movie War Room, came out 2 or 3 years ago again. Some of you be cleaning out a closet or an extra room or something just to make it a place where you know in 2018, here I'm meeting with God. But let me just quickly, it doesn't even have to be that. It's not like you have to have an extra room in your house to do this. You ever heard of John Wesley? It's not a trick question, don't worry. You ever heard of Charles Wesley? You ever heard of Methodism? The Methodist Church, right? John and Charles were siblings. They were 2 out of 10. 10 children born to Sam and Susanna Wesley. Sam and Susanna had a non-ideal marriage, right? They had a difficult marriage. That's kind of an understatement. On many occasions, Susanna was left to raise those 10 children on her own. Clearly not on every occasion. They produced 10 children, all right? But she was left to he would just disappear, and she was left to raise those 10 children on her own. How many of you believe that Susanna Wesley had a full life with 10 kids to care for? How many of you mothers, although you know I'm setting you up, right? But how many of you mothers can understand, how are you going to find time and place to prioritize prayer when you're raising 10 kids? Yeah, I hear that, amen. Susanna did it by pulling her apron up over her face. Susanna did it by pulling her apron up over her face. And she taught her kids that when they saw her with her apron covering her face, she was in prayer and could not be disturbed. Her son John Wesley wrote over 9,000 hymns. Many of them would be familiar to you. Her son Charles Wesley, who preached to nearly a million people over his lifetime. He's really responsible for Methodism. He's really responsible for the Methodist Church. And the truth is, if you want to trace the Pentecostal renewal that broke out at the turn of the 20th century, it really grows out of Methodist revivalism. And so really, Jefferson Assembly, JAG Church, can trace its lineage back to John and Charles Wesley. John and Charles were the fruit of the prayers of Susanna Wesley, who with 10 kids found a time and a place to pray. You could do worse than that legacy. You understand what I'm saying? So don't find excuses. Find a time. Find a place. And then I want to suggest to you that you follow a guide. Specific place for prayer, a regular time for prayer, and a guideline process for prayer. Now, what I'm about to talk to you about is printed for you on the back side of this sheet that you received in your bulletin packet. I have listed for you some of the models that people use to guide their times of prayer. At the top, what some people call the ACTS model, where you divide whatever time you've committed to prayer between four emphases: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Supplication, for what it's worth, is just a word for request, for things you need and want God to do. So if I've got 20 minutes, I'm going to divide it between these four emphases, and I might spend 5 minutes just adoring the Lord, just loving on Jesus. I'll spend 5 minutes in confession. That might be confession of known sin, or it might just be confession acknowledging my struggles and my challenges and what I'm battling and trying to bring all that to the Lord. I spend 5 minutes thanking the Lord for what He's done. I'd say the more specific my thanks, the better, right? And then I spend 5 minutes asking God to do what I oh so desperately need Him to do. So it's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, acts, all right? Here's another option on your sheet. Some people use the Lord's Prayer as a guide, and they let each line of the Lord's Prayer shape the direction of their praying for whatever amount of time they have committed to pray. And for what it's worth, I think that's really the purpose behind the Lord's Prayer and why the Lord gives us this prayer. It's not given as a prayer to be memorized and recited just rotely, but a guide for how to pray. Jesus' disciples didn't say, "Lord, teach us a prayer." They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And He prays what we call the Lord's Prayer as a guide for the prayers that they would offer. So when you use the Lord's Prayer as a guide to open your to lead your time, you might open with a focus on praise. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Just spend some time praising the Lord, thanking Him for who He is and exalting His name. And then move to what I've called progress. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let that be the cry of your heart. "Oh God, that the evidence of Your reign would progress in the earth, in my life, in my family's life, in the life of my church, in the life of my neighborhood, in the life of my community, in the life of my nation. Oh God, let Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Provision. "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us." Protection. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then proclamation. Proclamation. Just declaring, "All this is Yours, Jesus. Thine is the kingdom, Thine is the power, Thine is the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever." And just glorifying His name and proclaiming that all glory goes to Him. He's the King and I'm not, right? One more method on your sheet that I really like. It's called the SOAP method. This method integrates whatever scripture you're reading for the day, because you are reading scripture each day, right? Whatever scripture you're reading for the day into whatever you're praying for that day. So you read the S, scriptures. Note any O, observations that capture your attention. G, I never thought about this before. Take time to consider the A, application of that scripture to your life. And then P, pray the scripture. Take to God in conversation whatever He has spoken to you through His word for that day. There's three ways right there, and you can look up a dozen other online, and you can find some kind of guideline that you can use to shape your prayer. The point is that prioritizing prayer is doable. It's doable. Shift your guidelines so that this month you're going to use Acts, and next month you're going to use the Lord's Prayer, and the month after that you're going to do soap, and then you're going to cycle, so that this doesn't become just this monotonous routine, but that there's some life there and some communication and some conversation, but let it have a shape so it doesn't just wander off in any direction whatsoever. All right. Any of these approaches to prayer, you can tackle in whatever time you've got. I don't really like to say it that way because some of us don't think we have any time. Whatever time you've decided, I'm committing to the Lord in prayer this year. So if you've got 20 minutes a day, you can shape these guidelines around a 20-minute prayer. If you've got 40 minutes, if you can grow to the place that you could pray an hour, Jesus said that. Could you not tarry with me just 1 hour, right? If you've got 10 minutes, grab it and fold it and mold it into one of these guidelines. I understand that all of us think we ought to do more. I've never heard anybody say, yeah, I pray enough. Right? I've never heard anybody say, I study enough, I witness enough, I have heard people say, I give enough. All right. But the question is not really, what do you think you ought to do, that the truth is we know you may never get around to doing. The question is not really, what do you think you ought to do, as much as the question today is, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? If you want to launch 2018 well, prioritize prayer. Do that thing that you know you ought to do on some new level, in some fresh way. Become a person of prayer. All right, I want you to stand with me, please. You've been sitting a long time. The heart cannot receive what the seat cannot endure. We're going to practice a little bit. We're going to practice in a modified form. You do this well, and I'll let you go home. Otherwise, we're staying after class for extra sessions, all right? We're going to practice just a little bit what I've been talking about. It doesn't do any good for the preacher to spend 30 or 40 minutes talking about prayer if nobody prays. We're going to do kind of a modified SOAP method and let Scripture direct our prayer together, right? Scripture, observation, application, prayer. We're going to move real quick through the observation application part of it. I'm getting a pen out of my pocket. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 begins a prayer that Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. I think it's on the screen before you, or will be. But we're not going to go in depth into conversation about it. But I want you, listen, I want you to be thinking as I read. And I'm serious about this. I want you to be thinking as we read. And then after we've read, yes, actually speak up to me and answer these kinds of questions. Answer, once we've read, what is here in this passage that we can thank God for or gratefully declare about God, what this passage tells us about God that we can celebrate, or something God does that we can be grateful for, and then what we can ask God to do for us. What's here that I can celebrate about you, God? What's here that I should be asking you to do for me? Don't even make it hard. Don't even make it difficult. Your answer won't be too simple. But let's take it from the Scripture, which says, Paul writes these words, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I'm going to stop there and just ask you, what's there that we can, I got my pen ready. We're going to see what happens here. What's there that we, and I got a blank sheet, just so you know. I didn't prepare past a blank sheet. Don't let me down. What did I just read there that we could celebrate about God? Nice and loud, please. His love, all right? All right, he does more than we can ask. listens. He forgives. Spirit's always with us. I'll never be able to read what I'm scribbling here once I'm done. All right, let me ask you this. What's there that we can ask God to do for us? All right, healing. And who said what? So he can pour out his healing. Everything doesn't count. It does count. We just got to whittle it down so we can declare it. All right? What did I say? Healing and power. Everything. Strength. All right? Filled with all the fullness. Wish we had time to talk about that. That's a great word. Pleroma is the Greek word there. Filled with all, what was the phrase exactly? Power to go through, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All right, one more. Is there one more thing there we can ask God to do for us? Anybody? Understand his love. All right, I'm going to coach you through this a little bit, but I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And if you will, I'm going to ask you to pray out loud. And Abby, I don't know if you were able to catch any of that and put stuff up. Oh, looky there. Okay. Boom! Boom! All right. I can't even read what I wrote here. Honestly, love, what we thank God for is love more than we can ask. I'll bet that's what that says. That he listens. That he forgives. That's what that says. Forgives. That his spirit is always with us. Oh, it's right up there. My name's Kent. I'm the pastor at Jefferson Assembly of God. It's me. All right. I really don't have time to talk about it, but I love Acts chapter 4, and you know this, where the church had a problem, and a couple of the apostles went back and reported to the church what the problem was. And Acts chapter 4, verse 24 says, upon hearing this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And if we had time to talk about it, I'd show you how they used scripture to guide their prayer. And together, they lifted their voices. And so if you can bear to do that, you can just do it in a monotone. You can just do it kind of under your breath. But if you could lift your voice with me, I want just for a couple of minutes, because we all want to prioritize prayer, right? Because we all want 2018 to be the best it can be, right? You don't want a puny 2018, do you? I almost said, you don't want a 2018 that sucks, but a preacher can't say that. I didn't say that. But you don't, do you? You want something that's living and vibrant. Well, listen, prayer, communication with the one who loves you better than anyone else ever has. Central to it. All right, so just for a few minutes, and I'm going to try to lead you, but don't rely on me. You take this stuff to, let's just thank God. Let's thank God for the things that are listed right here. Come on. Lord, thank you. We bless you that you are love, that God is love, that there is no better descriptor than love to describe who you are and how you act towards us consistently. We are blessed, God, that you have loved us so abundantly. Now let me pray for you one more time and then I'll let you go. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us into relationship, into sweet and loving and strengthening and abiding relationship. And you have given us this gift we call prayer, this wonderful gift of communication. So many ways to accomplish it. So many ways to be in your presence. But God, this wonderful gift where we speak to you, hear from you, and in that intimacy, find life and life everlasting. We need in new ways and fresh ways to be made a praying people and a praying church. That's true individually, that's true corporately. So I am asking you, as we launch this new year, that you would help us to launch in prayer. Today, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, wherever the time and place can be found, and however you would direct us to pray, that we would follow the example you have set so beautifully and so powerfully and prioritize prayer. Prioritize prayer so that we might be the people you're forming us to be. I pray it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. All God's people said. Amen. You go in the grace and fullness of the Lord now, church. Don't forget to pray. God bless.